We have two grandchildren. And, I tell you, they are such a blessing in life, and the children are a blessing too. We know that. We have to have children before you can have grandchildren, obviously, in one capacity or another. But our granddaughter from the time that she was born, Jalen is her name, from the time she was big enough to, I shouldn't say born, but from the time that she was big enough to start functioning, Jalen has always been competitive. You know, she's a competitive. She's a competitor. She loves competing. She played, how old was she when, 8 years old, 10 years, seven years old when she played. She wanted to play tackle football. While the rest of the girls were putting on their little skirts and had their pom-poms and was cheerleading, she said, no, I want to play football. I want to tackle. I want to hit somebody. She's a competitor. And, you know, she, a number of years ago, she started playing in rec league. She started playing rec league basketball. And although sometimes I must admit it gets really frustrating, it gets really aggravating. About 3-4 years ago, she started playing travel ball, AAU travel ball. Let me tell you something, moms and dads, I'm telling y'all two something right here. Because you got two boys coming up. You better be buy Chase pants with really long pockets, because, you know, you have to have deep ones to support some of these kids and their habits in this day and time. Jalen is just passionate about basketball. Zach over here is passionate about basketball. Bad pass. Pick it up, Zach. Zach back here, he's passionate about basketball as well. He's passionate as well. So we travel. Yesterday we didn't have, well, Sarah did go because Keaton now is playing rec league ball. But we travel most Saturdays, a lot of Saturdays during the winter time and early spring, we find ourselves traveling in basketball. Now I've always liked basketball. I've loved basketball. And despite what some of you may be thinking right now, my favorite basketball team is not Virginia Tech. My favorite basketball team is actually Wake Forest. Has been for a number of years. But that has nothing to do with this message this morning. I just thought I'd throw it out there so you would know. But Jalen, I've always loved basketball. I never did do too well at basketball because I have a handicap that didn't allow me to do very well in basketball. I'm vertically challenged. And in over the past 10 to 15 years, especially the last 5 years, I've become horizontally challenged as well. You know, it would kill me, you know. But I love basketball. I love the energy of basketball. I love the competition of basketball. I don't care too much about pro basketball. It's okay. But I like high school and college basketball. That's where it's really at. A few weeks ago, we went to one of our granddaughter's basketball games and they were playing a team, I believe it was from down Roanoke way. And, man, I mean, it was probably one of the most intense games that they had ever played in their life. But the team they played came out click of the clock. Say that three times real fast. Click of the clock. From the first click of the clock, that team from Roanoke came out and they were playing full court press. Y'all know what that is? You know, how many basketball fans we have in the house? They were playing full court press. As soon as a shot, if the shot wasn't made, or even if it was made, as soon as the ball got thrown inbounds, that team from Roanoke began to press. They were double teamed and they were boxing out and trying to steal the ball back. They didn't even give our team an opportunity to get back across the half court line. They were pressing them with everything. And that game was, it was physical. It was fast paced. I mean, for sixth and seventh grade girls, I think. Man, it was unbelievable. It was just blowing my mind. And the team my granddaughter played on, they came back and they started playing full full court press, and they lost their first game, but they had to play that same team in the final round, and being the proud grandpa I am, they came back and beat them for the championship. But it was full court press. It was full court press. It was intense. And it takes, listen, when you're playing full court press, it takes relentless energy. It means that you are placing the ultimate pressure. Just hang on to it right now. You are placing the ultimate pressure on the team that's in possession. I want to preach to you this morning this message that I've entitled Full Court Press. I'm going to preach it to you in three parts. The first part that I want to preach to you is the press down. Press down. Now, when I read the scripture, listen, the reality of it is, I'm dated. I realize that. I just am the age I am, okay? I still like watching Archie Bunker reruns. I like Sanford and Son reruns. I like Hogan Heroes reruns. I like Green Acres. We watch Green Acres. Since we dish the satellite dish, we watch all the old reruns, you know. Good stuff. Try it if you haven't ever watched them, those of you that are younger. But in all of that, I remember a show that was called Laugh-In. And Laugh-In had this guy on there Dana, you could have picked a better Sunday to wear your tie-dye shirt. Laugh-In was a show from back in the 70s, and it was supposed to have been a comedy show, but it had this guy that had long curly hair, kinky curly hair. I think he had put them in one of those irons that kink your hair up, but he always wore a suit and he played a ukulele. His name was Tiny Tim. If Faye remembers that, I can tell. And Tiny Tim sang that little song, and you've heard me do a little bit of rendition of it before. And Tiny Tim went something like, "Tiptoe through the tulips with me." Let me tell you something. You okay? Let me tell you something about that. Life is not about tiptoeing through the tulips. In fact, let me go a bit further with that. The Christian life is not always about tiptoeing through the tulips. In fact, as believers, we must, I think, understand and realize it's an easily perceived concept that when we decide to start following Jesus, that we find ourselves, if you would, hard-pressed. In fact, the psalmist said this. He said, "When hard-pressed, I cried to the Lord, and He brought me into a spacious place." He said, "The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I look in triumph on my enemies." Realize this in the Christian life, there is an enemy. There are enemies, if you would, but there is ultimately an enemy. That enemy would like to press us down, would like to pulverize us, to grind us into sand, if you would, just to crush us beneath the weight and the pressure of his devices. We're pressed down, just like the basketball team. They want to put pressure on. That's what full court is. It's putting pressure on. Every day, every single day, the enemy would like to pressure us and increase the pressure us, crush us, push us down, cause us to break, bring us to a breaking point. But the psalmist said, "But I cried to the Lord, and He brought me into this spacious place." You know, when we're talking full court press, the enemy understands the device. When Jalen and her team was playing the Roanoke team, let me tell you, the Roanoke team understood the value of full press. They understood the technique of full press. What were they trying to do? Of course, I prefer to metaphorically look at this like our team is the good guys. We did have on white uniforms at least part of the day. Our team, we were the good guys. We were the good guys. The Roanoke team was the enemy. That was the enemy girls, if you would. And they were doing everything they could to pressure and put pressure and press down and stop our team from succeeding. And actually they did in round one. But they didn't continue to do that forever. If you get my drift. You see, when I read what the apostle said, Paul said in the New Testament, he said, we are hard pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. He said, we are perplexed, but we're not in despair. He said, we are persecuted. He said, but we've not been abandoned. He said, we might be struck down. That means knocked to the ground, knocked to your knees, knocked flat of your face, knocked flat of your back. Paul said, we are struck down. He said, but we are not destroyed. I want you to understand this. The enemy may be pressing you. He may be pressing me. Of course he is. He hates us. He hates us, especially if we are saved because who we are in Christ. If you are unsaved, he hates you for what you can become in Christ. He is pressuring you. He is trying to push you down. He is playing full court press in your life. But then I find the thought pressing in. When I think about pressing in, I think about Matthew, Mark, Luke. They offer the synopsis or the account, the like account of a lady. It was a story of a lady. In the story, to paint you the picture, in this story, there's a crowd that's gathered around Jesus. This crowd, it's almost overwhelming Jesus and His disciples when you read the story. They are pushing towards Jesus. Everybody is wanting and trying to get to Jesus. They are trying to get their needs met. They're trying to reach out and get everything accomplished they want in their life. But there was a woman, I prefer, as I read scripture, to interpret that she maybe was away back in the crowd. Quite frankly, that woman wasn't supposed to be there at all. Because that woman, according to scripture, she had a blood disorder for 12 years. She had a bodily disorder. To be quite frank, it probably was female related, if you get what I mean. And she had been bleeding for 12 years. By all practical purposes, this lady should have been dead. She should have been dead. She was weak. She was poor. The Bible records that she spent everything that she had. She had spent everything that she had. She had nothing left. Her resources had expired. But you know what's worse than that? And you say, well, what could be worse than being broke and your health gone as well? What's worse than that is because if you go back under the law, because of this woman's problem, because of the physical problem of her bleeding, she was considered unclean and she was not accepted by the society that was around her. She was an outcast. She was a reject, if you would. She was handicapped from society. She was almost banished from society under the law. But this woman is probably on the very much outcast. She showed up somewhere where she really probably under the law shouldn't have been. She showed up and as we read in the accounts of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we find that woman pressed through that crowd herself. She did a full court press. She did whatever she needed to do. I mean, I could imagine her at times being in, out of her physical weakness, falling to her knees and even crawling and dragging her body along. I could imagine her trying to push her weak, frail body through the crowd to try to get to where Jesus was. And she succeeded and she made it there. She made the full court press and she touches Jesus' clothes. And then he took note. He says, who touched me? His right hand, me and his disciples, they said, man, Jesus, how can you ask such a question? There's a huge crowd here. And man, all these people around pushing in on you and you want to know who touched you? He said, yeah, but this was a different touch. This was a determined touch. This was a touch that occurred and I felt virtue leave out of me. I need to know who it was. This woman feeling very self-conscious. She speaks up and she says, it was me, Lord. It was me, Lord. I just knew if I could touch your garment, the hem of your garment, that I would be made complete, I would be made whole, and I would be free from my issue of blood. But not only free from the issue of blood, the sickness that she had, but she was also set free to become a member, if you would, of society, or accepted by the world that is around her. But she had to press in. And she had to press in full court. You know, playing full court, man, you better be physically fit if you don't play full court, or you better have a lot of subs on your team. That's all I've got to say. But you know what? The reality is, there's no subs on your team. You see, because the reason that I say that to you is there's no subs on your team, there's no subs on my team in the sense of my service unto the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it's up to me to press in. It's up to me to keep pushing on. It's up to me to be determined. It's up to me to keep pursuing and pushing in and pressing in to where God is at. And when I read what Jesus said, He said the law and the prophets were proclaiming until John since the time. The good news of the kingdom is God, of God is being preached, and everywhere is forcing their way into it. Listen. If you read that in the King James Version, it says something along this line. It says, the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violence will take it by force. Another portion of Scripture says that the gates of hell cannot prevail against us. In other words, there is not enough forces of hell to stop us if we will press in to what God has for us. And what God wants, not just really what God has for us, but what God is wanting to do through us. If we will press in to the presence of the Holy Spirit, if we will press in to the presence of God, if we will press in to His will and His purpose, if we will press in, if we will become determined that we're going to put the pressure on. You see, I'm here to tell you this morning, it's time for us to quit succumbing to the pressure of the enemy, and it's time for us as the army of God to rise up and begin to put the pressure on, because I find that's what we are given the power and authority to do. When the Bible says, when Jesus said that you shall cast out devils in my name, you shall heal the sick, and you shall deliver those that are in trouble. When Jesus told us those things that we are equipped to do in the power of the Holy Spirit, what He's saying to do is go out, press in, attack the enemy, assault the enemy, assault the kingdom of darkness, assault the iniquity in the world, and go out in the presence. Let me tell you something. Now, I don't mind them. I don't mind them. I really don't. In fact, I enjoy playing them. But I think about a lot of the songs that I grew up on in the Redback Hymnal. And I don't disvalue it, okay? Don't misunderstand me at all. I think there's some tremendous theology in the hymn songs. Actually, a whole lot more so than in modern worship songs. But I remember those songs like My Heavenly Home, number 120, by the way, if you have your Redback Hymnal. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. And we sang a lot about, I'm just ready to get out of this world. I'm just ready to escape everything. I just want to die. The reality of it is, we're put here for a purpose. We're put here for a reason. Now, we are pressed down. The enemy is pressing hard against us, but he is calling us to press back. Understand, Jalen, Withville elite basketball team, if they had just said, well, they can press us, but we're going to be nice, and we're not going to press them back. They can press us. Guess what? Roanoke would have annihilated them. Roanoke would have killed them right there on the basketball court. But they had to make a decision. We're not just going to be pressed, but we're going to press back. And I feel like as I was praying here Wednesday night, the Lord spoke this into my spirit that we must realize as God's people, we've got to press back. We can't just stand and wait on the enemy. We can't just stand and give way to his devices and the pressure that he puts on us. But we must press back. Press back. We're in warfare. We are in battle. We must press back. And as we press back, the Word of God tells me that the gates of hell cannot hold the church as the church presses back and pushes in to what is considered enemy territory. And then, as we press back, we find ourselves pressing over. We find ourselves pressing over. Let me share some scripture with you, paraphrased. Eugene Peterson's paraphrase version of scripture is called The Message. I want to read to you part of what Peterson says. Actually, I'm going to read the whole passage to you, but that's just a portion up there. When Jesus arrived, this is Peterson's paraphrase. Peterson says this, Matthew 16, starting at verse 13. He said, when Jesus arrived in the villages of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, what are people saying about who the Son of Man is? Jesus is talking about himself there. They replied, well, some say that he's John the Baptist, and others say he's Elijah, and some others say he's Jeremiah, or maybe he's one of the other prophets. Jesus pressed them. He said, well, how about you? Who do you say I am? Simon Peter said, well, you are Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus came back. His comeback to Simon Peter was this. God bless you, Simon, son of Jonah. You didn't get that answer out of books or from teachers. My Father in heaven, God Himself, let you in on this secret of who I really am. And now I'm going to tell you who you are, who you really are. He said, you're Peter, a rock. And he says, this is the rock. Now, he's not talking about Peter, but he's talking about the revelation that Peter had that Jesus was not Elijah. He was not Jeremiah. He was not just some prophet, but that he was the Son of God. He says, this is the rock on which I will put together my church, a church that is so expansive with energy that not even the gates of hell will be able to keep it out. You see, when we have got tired of being pressed down and we start pressing in, it's then that we will press over. You know, I remember some guys I grew up with and we one guy was named Larry. And Larry, he was one of my greatest friends. I hardly ever talked to him. He lives out west now. And I had another friend, one of my friends that lived just up the road from us. His name was Russell. And Russell had a name, his nickname was Bulldog, but he was more like a Chihuahua. I don't know how he got the nickname Bulldog. But Larry, you know, I mean, we were boys, okay? We were boys. We were growing up, we were young teenage boys, especially before we got our driver's license. You know, we're riding our bicycles, you know, pedaling wherever we needed to go or walked where we needed to go. But Larry really liked bullying Russell. He really liked bull. He liked it because he could feel superior. See, Larry couldn't beat his way out of a paper bag. He couldn't whip nobody except Russell. We're playing basketball one day. And as we're playing basketball one day, you know, even though I'm vertically challenged, I'm out there playing basketball. And we're playing basketball. And then all of a sudden, Larry just punches Russell. He punches him. Punched him right square in the chest. Hit him right square in the chest. Russell's going to start crying and he's going to get on his bicycle and he's going to go home. Or he just will go off somewhere else and cry. Russell wasn't a fighter. Russell was very, very, very soft, seemingly very soft, very timid. He wasn't gonna mess with nobody. But on that day, Larry punched Russell in the chest. Wasn't unusual for stuff like that to happen. Wasn't unusual for Larry to put him in a chokehold and squeeze him until he turned red. Well, those things were, but that day, Larry punched Russell in the chest. Never seen anything like it in all my life, except on TV, something at a circus. Russell didn't cry. Russell didn't call his mama. Russell pirouetted on his left foot, right arm extended, and he come around and caught Larry right up beside of his left ear. Pardon me, I'm just an old country boy. Sometimes it was a little bit rough where how I grew up. But in plain old Southwest Virginia, Sand Mountain, that's what where I grew up, it's called Sand Mountain. In plain old Sand Mountain lingo, Russell cold cocked him. He cold cocked him. He took him out. Let me tell you something. There wasn't another day that I can ever recall that Larry intimidated Russell. One good roundabout upside the left ear was all it took. You know, and at some point in time, you and I have to realize in our Christianity, yes, we exercise humility, but you and I have to realize also when it comes to the enemy attacking us and pressing us down, that we need to get over our timidity and we need to roundhouse the devil upside the left ear and just let him know we're fighting back in Jesus' name. We're going to take authority over this situation. It's not by my power, it's not by my strength, but it's about the strength of the Holy Ghost that is inside of me that I will fight back, devil. It's a full court press. And Paul went on to say this. He said, don't you know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. And Paul's not meaning that we're competing against one another, because we're not competing against one another. But we're supposed to run this race with every intention that we are going to finish first. He said everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Paul said this, and I highlighted this on purpose. He said, therefore, I do not run like some running aimlessly. I do not fight like some boxer beating the air. What Paul is saying is I'm intentional about this fight I'm in. I'm pressing in. I'm pressing on. And I'm pressing over is what Paul has to say. He said, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to back down. I'm not going to lay down, but I'm going to press in to what God has for me. And then Paul wrote his young friend Timothy. So preaching through Timothy on Wednesday night, by the way. Come join us for about 30 minutes of prayer as we preach through the books of Timothy and Titus. Timothy, Paul wrote, and see, a lot of the times we wait till a funeral to even read this verse of Scripture. And Paul certainly is addressing the end of his road, so to speak. But Paul says this. He said, I fought a good fight, the good fight. I have finished the race and I have kept the faith. Let me tell you something. We're in a fight. We're in a fight. We're in a fight. Listen, I'm not in a fight for my soul, because my soul, my spirit belongs to Jesus Christ. I'm not fighting to retain my soul. I'm not fighting to retain my spirit. But I'm fighting against the principalities, the powers of darkness, and all the spiritual wickedness that abounds in this world that we live in. I'm fighting against the one that has come to kill, steal, and destroy. I'm not going to lay down. I can't afford to let him walk on me, to run over my family, to run over my loved ones, to run over my church, to do anything like that. But I am fighting back. He is pressing me full court, and the only alternative that I really have as he presses me full court is to keep pressing him full court and listen to this. My final thought for this morning is this. You got to keep playing down to the wire. It may seem like in your game that right now there's a half a second, 4/10 of a second left on the clock. It looks like it's over. You're down by 2 points. But let me tell you something. Don't lose heart. Go for three. Shoot outside that circle. Don't give up. Don't just throw the ball down and say, well, we're going to quit and let that 0.4 seconds run off the clock. Take advantage of everything down into the ring of the buzzer. You do everything you can to press in, to press over, because the enemy is pressing you. There's no reason to quit. You press in and you press over. And don't you give up. I went through, there were so many, I didn't bring any up in particular, but you know, when it comes to basketball, the state of North Carolina is just so powerful in basketball. But I sat down and I read in collegiate basketball, at least anyway, I began to read all of the, it's amazing, you know, we're just a little bit over a month away from March Madness starting. The basketball tournaments. And I was sitting down and I was reading. It's amazing the number of games that are won or lost with less than a half second on the clock. Are you listening to me? And you may be sitting here this morning and you say, well, I've been trying. Listen, I do care, but forgive me for my expression. When I say I don't care, it's not that I don't care. You get what I mean. But I want you to know this. It may be down to where there's a half second on your clock, and you may say, there's no use, there's no point. We may as well just give up. Whatever the situation is, maybe it's a loved one, maybe it's a family member, maybe it's something in your personal life. Your personal condition. Maybe it's something in your walk with the Lord. There's no point in me keep on trying. I need to give up. I need to just quit. I need to stop because it's all over with. Listen, don't give up. A championship team. Again, I went back and I was looking at this, at the number of teams that won with less than a second, half second or less on the clock. It just blew my mind the number of times that's happened in the NCAA basketball tournament. And that goes to show, or it goes to prove to me, that you can't ever afford to quit. You can't ever afford to give up. You can't ever afford to stop. I don't care how far you're behind in the score. I don't care if there's only a literal handful of clicks left on the clock. You cannot give up. You cannot quit. You need to keep pressing in and pressing on, because you are going to be able to press over someday, because as you're faithful and as you're persistent in pressing in, pressing on, you will press over. It's a full court press. It's high energy. It's relentless. You can't stop. You can't give up. You can't afford to get tired. You need to get your second wind. You know, our basketball team, talking about my granddaughters, we don't have a very big bench. What is there, three on the bench maybe? Three, four, two. Granny says two. That's right, we lost the one girl. We only have two girls on the bench. So we don't have a lot of depth. So you know what happens? In between games, I hear the coach saying, y'all girls got to go somewhere and rest. Y'all need to go somewhere and rest. You need to go drink you some fluids. You need to prepare yourself, hydrate yourself. Go somewhere, lay down and get you some rest. Don't be up running around and playing and jumping. Get you some rest. Prepare yourself. They need a second wind. You know, there's some of us in this room this morning. You need to have a rest, but what you need to get a rest for is so you have your second wind. You need your second wind so you can keep pressing in. Some of you say, well, man, Pastor, man, you don't know how tired I'm getting. You got to keep pressing. Full court press. You can't give up. You can't stop. You can't quit. It's going to come down a half a second on the clock, and maybe you're behind two, maybe you're behind one. But whatever the case is, I'm believing metaphorically. Understand me, metaphorically. I'm believing that you're going to drop that three pointer. You might drop it from half court, but you're going to sink the shot that's going to carry you into the championship, so to speak. Because you're going to be relentless. Full court press. Full court press. High energy. High intensity. Being a Christian is not for the squeamish. It's not for the wimpish. Being a Christian is for us to be determined. And persevering. Longevity. Stamina. Enduring the pains, the sufferings that come along with life and being a Christian. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes with me just a moment. With the heads bowed and eyes closed, I just want to ask you a question. Are you here this morning? And you're just really feeling tired. Pastor, I just can't keep pushing myself. I can't keep going. I'm tired. If you're here this morning and you're feeling tired, it may be physical tiredness, but I'm speaking more so as spiritual tiredness. If that's you today, would you just raise your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm not going to embarrass you. Is there anybody in this room, Pastor? I'm just feeling tired. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. It's your business. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Any others? I'm really just feeling tired right now. I'm really feeling tired. Is there another? If you're in this room and you've never been saved, if you're in this room and maybe you've fell far away from God, and you need to rededicate your life to Him, would you just slip up your hand real quickly and say, Pastor, pray for me. I just need to be saved. I need to rededicate my life. Is there one person? No one's looking around except me, and I'm not going to pressure you. And this is what I want to ask you to do. I want you to look at me. I want everybody that can and would. If you choose not to, that's your business. But I'm just asking you, if you would consider just coming down here and meeting me around the front of the church, because we're going to have a time of prayer. Those of you that raised